It's been a great weekend, amen. It's been good to fellowship, to be able to hear God's word, to be able to be preached. But Dave mentioned the congruency of the messages. I had several people ask me as we were planning this, are you going to give the speakers any direction? Are you going to kind of give them what I let the Holy Spirit kind of guide their hearts? And I think it'll be fun to figure out what's going on. They knew the overall theme of the conference, and then they were able, the Holy Spirit led them, and it's been really good. And I'm sure it's touched people where they are at. It's taught to people where they are at. And so I hope you have enjoyed the messages I have and able to get something from them. I want to end this conference. I want to start with asking a question of what now? What do we do now? We just had a day and a half, 2 days of fellowship, of learning from God's word, of remembering the past, of being able to encourage one another. And what do we do now? I know one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to find someone to start planning the 40th and 50th anniversary, so that way we can already have that in the books. But I think it's easy for us, if we just walk away from this weekend, to have one of two responses. The first one being walking away and never giving it any consideration. We just walk away. It was another thing to check off the calendar. It was another thing to kind of get through. It was enjoyable. It was fun. But it was just what it is. The other thing that is a danger that we can fall into is to be able to walk away from a weekend like this saying, remember the good old days? We should try to go back to the good old days. We should try to go back to what we remember of the good old days, because we tend to forget the hard times. And it stifles us. And we don't move forward. And so, back to my original question, what do we do now? We keep going. We're doing well. Could we do better? Yes. But we need to keep going. We need to keep walking in the faithfulness of our Lord. We need to keep walking as the body of Christ, encouraging us and using the things that we have experienced this weekend to continue to spur us on to living a life and to being a church that is a light in this community. Life is tough. And at times, we start looking at our situation in the middle of those tough times, and we miss the bigger picture. We start just seeing the things in front of us. We start just seeing the things and how they're affecting us. But weekends like this help us pull back from those current challenges and gain a better perspective. Weekends like this allow us to be able to see and remember fruit that the Lord has used us to be able to produce. I'd be curious to know, you don't have to answer this now, obviously, but how much of the encouraging stories or how many of the things you heard you had no idea about that you had that impact? It's amazing when we walk faithfully, when we teach God's word, when we love people of the body of Christ, we have no idea the impact we are having on another person. And the way the Lord is using that to be able to allow us to encourage someone else. So I want to talk about that. How do we keep going? What do we do in order to be able to make sure that we use a weekend like this to continue to be the church that God wants us to be? But before we jump into that, I want to take a minute and ask another question, because I think it's foundational to this, is what is faithfulness? It's a word we throw around quite a bit, but what's a true working definition? What's an accurate definition of faithfulness? I think if I asked many people their definition and they were to give it to me, they would find a picture that mindlessly drudges through something because they think it's what they're supposed to do or what they're supposed to be. It's more of a blind loyalty than true faithfulness. And there's a difference there. Though, yes, sometimes the faithfulness happens out of duty, happens because we know it should be there. It is foundational. Its foundation is different from just blind loyalty, because that's what we're supposed to do. Dictionary.com defines faithfulness this way: a strict or thorough in the performance of duty. True to one's word, promise, vows. Steady in allegiance and affection. Reliable, trusted, believed. adhering or true to fact or a standard. I think this does a good job of kind of encompassing the surrounding parts of faithfulness and what faithfulness is. But I think there's even more to it. And to help us be able to grasp that, we need to break the word apart and look at how it's made up. And the word we see there is faith. And jump back, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 if you want to start turning there. If you jump back one chapter, Hebrews 11, 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Faith is rooted in truth and affected by the way that we live our lives." And what is the truth? How does it affect our lives? And I love Pastor Brad's definition of faith. In fact, to make sure I got it right, I went back on the website, looked up one of his sermons on this, and copy-pasted it in. Side note, they don't put them in the library anymore, but we can all access them online. I often do that when I want to go back and be able to see, what did Pastor Brad do for this? How did he handle this text? His definition: faith is trusting in the person of God and acting on the promises of God, regardless of how I feel. Faith is trusting in the person of God and acting on the promises of God, regardless of how I feel. I loved your message this morning because it was right in tune with that. So if that is faith, if we are living a life of faith, our life is full of faith. Therefore, our lives will be marked as someone who is constantly thinking, making decisions, and acting and trusting in the person of God. They will see us living out our faith on a daily basis. And that impacts all areas of our life as it filters down. And we could spend a whole series on what faith does for our lives. But we won't do that tonight. So what does it take to live faithfully? Let's get back to that. How do we make sure that we keep going even though life gets difficult? The writer of Hebrews talks about that in our text today. So let's read our text. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is a familiar passage. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." We see three things here that will help us to be able to live a life of faithfulness. First of all, we need to remember the faithful. Secondly, we need to run with endurance. And thirdly, we need to remain focused. First one, we get in the first verse there, first part of the verse there, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." The "therefore," that we are surrounded by witnesses, the "therefore" is referring back to chapter 11. I read the first verse, but then the writer continues to go on and explain and give examples of people who lived by faith. People who were not perfect, people who messed up, but they were marked by living a faithful life. They trusted in the promises of God and acted on the promises of God. So, the writer is calling us to look back to faithful men and women listed in the previous chapter, but that doesn't stop there. We need to be able to look at those around us as well. First, the thing we see there is that we're surrounded by them. We're encircled, hanging about. I kind of get the picture of you walk into a room or you walk into a hallway and they have pictures or tokens or symbols or things hanging on the wall to remind them of something in the past. If you would have walked into my office here at church when I was on staff and seen, I had the two filing cabinets shoved together, and on top of those filing cabinets, I had three or four objects there, each of them from a different grandfather. I had the hat and the wood whittling set from my mom's dad. And the hat reminded me of him. The whittling set, the many hours we would sit there and he would work on making his little birds or his boots or whatever he was whittling out. And he would just speak wisdom into my life. I had a baseball mask and a catcher's glove from another grandfather, my dad's dad. I never met him. He died when my dad was young, but he was still a part of my heritage. And then I had the Bible of my great-grandfather, Dan's dad, that I got from a family auction. And it was sitting there, and you can read his notes, and you can see how the Spirit impacted his life. Why did I have them there? Because I needed space to fill? No, because I wanted to be able to remember. I wanted to be able to remember the heritage and the faith in which I was blessed to come from. The same thing is true here. He's calling us to go back and to remember those who were witnesses. Now, this is a witness, not as a spectator. You'll see some commentaries talk about that. I don't think this is what it's calling about, that it's they're spectating as we're walking our Christian life, but rather a witness who is going to give an example, a testimony of the Lord's faithfulness. These examples should encourage us to place our faith in the Lord and to be able to walk faithfully as they did. Specifically, the writer is referring back to the people in chapter 11. MacArthur points this out. He says the people in chapter 11 give witness to the value and blessing of living by faith. But as we talk about application and Bible study, we have the circles where the direct application and you kind of get farther and farther away. I think it's true that that this can apply to more than just chapter 11. The people listed in chapter 11, there's other biblical heroes that we can look to that were able to walk by faith. I love reading biographies of people who are now gone or who are have lived a life of faith and hearing how they walked with the Lord. Or perhaps it's people in the church. It's the people like Don Boggs who walked faithfully. And the list can go on, and we can be able to know and see a life marked of faithfulness and realize it works. It can be done. We need to keep going because we lose sight of focus. We lose sight of what we need to do. This isn't a new concept. The spiritual discipline of remembering we see throughout Scripture. I call it a spiritual discipline because I believe that's truly what it is. It's a spiritual thing. The Lord called the Israelites to remember, to teach the next generation. That you would see them placing epitaphs around or statues up to remember the Lord's faithfulness in those certain areas. They wanted to remember what the Lord has done. They couldn't write it down. They didn't have the ability to be able to do that in a mass production way. So they were telling stories, remembering. The psalmist. How many times does the psalmist stay in the state of depression, the state of woe, the state of not being able to see past what's going on, and then he remembers the faithfulness of the Lord, and it changes his perspective and allows him to be able to walk faithfully. And he makes the conscious decision, regardless of how he feels, to be able to walk in the statutes of the Lord. And it's a discipline. If your life is like mine, it's crazy. If your life is similar to mine, I'm heading from one task to another, and I don't have a whole lot of discretionary time to be able to sit and to think, to be able to sit and just ponder. This is a discipline that we need to go back and remember the Lord's faithfulness in our lives, to be able to learn and see the Lord's faithfulness in those who have walked before us. It is something that we should have in our normal study of what we do. Why do we need this discipline? I got three reasons quickly here. We're prone to wander, aren't we? The hymn writer had it right. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I feel it. We fight it regularly to leave and to lose focus. Two, perspective. It gives us the proper perspective. When we live in light of the cross and in light of the Lord's faithfulness, it just changes our viewpoint. It changes the lens to be able to interpret and to see what is around us. And thirdly, encouragement and edification. Again, life is hard. And we need that encouragement to keep going, to keep moving. We have spent this weekend doing the discipline of remembering. And that will help us run with endurance. The second half of the verse there, as we look at that, it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance, steadfastness, having fortitude or perseverance, abiding. Chuck talked about that last night of what does it mean to abide in Christ, to have endurance. John MacArthur says, endurance is the steady determination to keep going regardless of the temptation to slow down or to give up. Ever get to that point in life where you just want to slow down? Or you just want to coast for a little while? Or you want to give up? That determination to keep going. And where do we find that determination? It's not within ourselves. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But in the fitness world, where I spend a good chunk of my life, endurance is defined as being able to repeatedly make a muscle contraction until you reach fatigue. And fatigue isn't just tiredness in that definition. It means I cannot physically contract that muscle anymore. It's exactly what you need when we go out and we run a race, right? We need to have endurance. You need to be able to repeatedly make a same muscle contraction, repeatedly do the same action for however long the race is. The New York Marathon was this weekend, I believe. Those people needed to do that. Do we have any runners in here? Yeah, you guys are crazy. I do it because you're supposed to and it's healthy for you and all that, but I don't really enjoy it. I know Pastor does. A distance runner. What does it take for someone to run a marathon or to run a race? They have to train. Ever talk to someone that runs a marathon? It consumes their life. Every decision they make is made based on how they can prepare for that marathon. From the food that they eat, to the sleep that they have, to the way that they do all things. In the midst of it, they'll get tired. Every marathon runner will tell you about the walls. The numbers are set. I don't remember the mile markers there, but they hit the wall. And their body physically does not want to keep going, or at least mentally it doesn't want to keep going, but they have to bust through that wall in order to finish the race. They need proper nutrition, hydration, during the race, before the race, after the race. And at times it gets monotonous. I know runners talk about they love it most of the times because of the runner's high that they get after they put the work in. But you get to mile 14 and it's got to get kind of monotonous, right? Doing the same thing over and over again, especially if you're training on a treadmill, right? So it's just going to be the same thing over and over again. You're going to keep moving. But why are you doing it? Because you have a goal in mind. Same thing's true in the Christian life. We need to train. And those times that life is going well, and those times of rich growth, we need to be able to realize that this is preparing us for the times of trial, for the suffering. We need nutrition, hydration. We need the scriptures to be able to fuel us, to be able to give us what we need in order for the Lord, order for us to be able to depend on the truth of God's word. That assumes that we know the truth. I think of Aaron's saying that he always says, is you got to trust in the darkness what you know to be true in the light. But that assumes you know what is true in the light. If you don't know what is true in the light, it's hard to trust it when you get to the darkness. We get tired. We'll hit walls. We won't want to keep going. And at times, it's not, like you said, spectacular. It's not a big event all the time. It's the simple conversation. It's the daily disciplined life that we run into in this Christian life. And we need to be faithful in those things in order to run well. I think this is interesting. Hebrews 10:32, right before that chapter 11 where he talks about faith, it says, but recall the former days, again, calling them back to remember. Recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering. Sometimes when publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plunder of poverty, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what has been promised. You have need of endurance. You have need to keep going through a lifelong journey. I mentioned running, and I don't really like it, but that's because I'm much more of a sprinter. You put me in a weight room where it's dark and there's dust flying all around because of the chalk, that's a way to work out, in my opinion. But it's short burst. It's to break through. And then you get a rest. But the Christian life isn't like that. It's to be able to keep going. He mentions they need endurance. He transitions into chapter 11 to be able to give them examples of the faith, calling them to remember the days that they have been able to walk by faith. And then he comes into chapter 12 and saying, keep going. You're doing well. Endurance isn't just there to be able to go through it. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, much what we talked about this morning, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit and has been given to us. This endurance that we are going through is the very thing that the Lord will use, the Holy Spirit will use to mold us and transform us, to faithfully walk in faithfulness, to be able to study His Scriptures, come to church, to be able to love the body of Christ, to be faithful in our ministry are the very things that He uses to mold us and shape us to look more like His Son. I also think it's interesting that in order to run with endurance, that we need to be able to walk faithfully. In Revelation, in the first 14 chapters, endurance is used 7 times. So in a book that is pointing us to the end, that is pointing us to what is to come, the writer, John, sees this and tells them and reminds them to keep going with endurance. What does it take to run with endurance well? The verse talks about casting off weights. Now these are the good things in our lives. These are the things that distract us though. These are the things that if we put too much focus on, it takes our focus away from the faithfulness of the Lord and walking in that faithfulness. And He tells us to cast them off. Cut it loose like a backpack coming off of your back and walk away from it. It's not worth it if it's going to distract you from the Lord. I had a friend who ran the turkey trot. I can't remember. I think it's Cincinnati that does this every Thanksgiving. And one of the unique things about that race is people dress up in costumes for some reason. You'll see a guy running in a gorilla suit. You'll see a guy running in all kinds of things. And he said there wasn't a whole lot more humbling during that race than when he was sitting there running with a normal running outfit on and doing the best he can. He wasn't very fast. He just enjoyed doing it. And all of a sudden, he looked to his right, and a guy wearing a scuba costume ran right past him, fins and all on his feet. Now, normally, we don't see people running that way because they don't want those things. Those are useful things. They're good things. They're things that you need if you're diving into the ocean and you need to be able to stay under for a long time. They're not conducive for running a race. We have those things that weigh us down, that we choose to hang on to in order to make sure that we have our comforts and we have the things that that we want in life. He also tells us to leave our sin. The sin that so easily entangles. Gives the picture there that we are wrapped up so much in this that we don't even know where to start coming out of it. And that's where the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit will guide us to be able to leave that sin. To be able to walk away from that sin and to remain faithful in that sin. Or faithful in our Lord, away from that sin. Both of these things are necessary in order to run with endurance the path that is set before us. As we run with endurance, we need to keep our eyes on the prize though. And that's what he talks about in verse 2 as he talks through this. Verse 2, he says, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. First thing the writer of Hebrews tells us to do is look. What does it mean to look? It's like when your teacher, your parents tell you there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? Hearing means you hear something. Listening means you obey it. There's a difference between seeing and looking. We see lots of things as we're passing by us, but to look at something is to gaze, to fix our eyes upon, to study, to inspect, to consider intently. He tells us to continue to fix our eyes on Christ. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher, the completer of our faith. Through his power, through his grace, is the power that we have to be able to walk in faithfulness. We can't do this on our own. Though we try at times, though we want to be able to walk away from the Lord and be able to do it under our own power, we fail miserably when we do that. We need to walk with Christ and follow his example. He endured. He endured the cross. He's been through this endurance thing. He's walked with endurance. The path set before him. That's the very word that we see back in verse 1. That we have a path set before us. And he endured it. And he conquered it. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is truly a great high priest, as Hebrews talked about earlier in the letter. He isn't a God that's up there that's telling us to be able to do these things and has no idea what it means, but he has walked it. He has walked through the trials. He has walked through temptation with endurance and was able, the path set before him, and was able to continue on. So what do we need to do? Let's wrap this up. We need to remain faithful and keep going. Keep putting one foot in front of the other, keeping our eyes focused on Christ and allowing us to walk with endurance through this life, the path that he has set before us. We need to do as Paul says in Galatians, never grow tired of doing good. Never grow tired of doing good. Seems monotonous at times. Seems like I've done that 1,000 times. Do I need to do it again? Yes. Be faithful in doing good. We need to use this weekend as encouragement to keep going. Take time to ponder. Take time to use this weekend to turn our focus to the Lord and allow that to spur us on to keep walking in faithfulness. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you that you sent your Son into this world to walk in faithfulness, to walk and to live the sinless life, and then to endure the cross, and to be able to conquer the cross and be raised from the dead, and to be able through that work there to be able to offer us the free gift of salvation through your grace. And we thank you that your grace is not just sufficient for salvation, but it is there to help us continue to walk faithfully in this life. And Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to continue to exercise the disciplines in our lives, the study of Scripture, the discipline of remembering to continue to walk faithfully through this life. At times it will get hard. At times we lose focus of what is really important. At times we get monotonous and we want to be able to jumpstart in some way. But help us to continue to walk faithfully in the setting, in the situation, in the moment you have us, Lord. And I pray that you would use this weekend and the things that have happened this weekend to be able to allow us to turn our eyes to you and to make much of you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for Wheelersburg Baptist Church and its faithfulness to continue to be the church, to continue to spur one another on and continue to stay true to your word. And we thank you for our pastor, who continues to lead us in that way and model it so well. And I pray that you would just allow us to continue to follow you as we make much of you in this community, that we share the gospel to people in this community and worldwide. I ask this all in your precious name. Amen.